Well, let's pray.
We thank you, Lord, for another week you've given us, Lord, this week. And, Lord, I just ask you bless, Lord, the preaching every night, Lord, and the open meetings in the morning. We ask tonight, Lord, for Michael and Terry as they're traveling tonight, Lord. We ask you to protect them, Lord, and that you watch over them, Father, and they get here, Lord, on your time. We ask for tonight, Lord, we ask that you help me to convey your message, Lord, tonight, and just help me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew in chapter 26. It's good to be back. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to this week, and especially with Brent around and getting to chat with him. Is he here tonight? Is he backslidden tonight? No, he's here. There he is. It's good to see him. You know, I've been in Mexico. We've been in Mexico now for 12, 13 years, something like that. Went down there in 94 and started working with Brent and Bill and Joey in Irapuato. So we spent about a year with Brent, and he was pretty funny. He was a funny character. I liked him, though. He was a little politician there in Irapuato, and I think he still is there in Warsaw. I'm glad to be here with him and fellowship a little bit more. You know, I started thinking about what the brother was saying this morning, and I want to more or less continue what Cor was saying about how basically what matters is Jesus, and what we do for him, and I started thinking about the testimony we have, the testimony that I want to maintain as a Christian, there's been people in the news. There've been people that, famous people that have passed away and left legacies, and they talk so well about it, and they've done many things, and there's people in history that we think about and we, know about, and their accomplishments, and all this is good. But I started thinking about our church here and the body of believers that we are, and I started thinking, if the Lord tarries, well, obviously, if the Lord, allows us to continue to work and this church to continue to send out more missionaries, not only, have the missionaries we have on the field support them, but, I'm praying that God sends out more, don't know how he's going to do it, but it'd be great if he sent a family out and two families, three families. I don't know. This is our focus is to evangelize. This church is very different, and we try to, as we build the churches down there in Mexico, we try to also give them this vision of evangelizing. And it's amazing to me how much our churches support their own missionaries, and they support other missionaries they don't even know out of these Mexican churches, because we emphasize how important it is to get the gospel out and to be to participate in this work that God has put us here to do. And a lot of times when we think about evangelism and we think about our responsibility that we're supposed to send and we're supposed to support, lots of times we think, okay, this is my job, this is what I have to do, and we don't really esteem it like we should. I really think that we ought to strive to leave a good testimony here on earth, and as far as following Christ, I think if we leave this world and try to make our church, try to make our work here different and just wholeheartedly serving God and having our services here, the way we worship, the way we fellowship, the way we do things for Christ to be not common, but actually set apart. I think, and I don't want to get to the point where I think, I want to lift up our church or lift up our work, but I think I want to strive, or I think we should strive to be different. Yes, as Christians and as a church. You know, not so much compare ourselves to other churches. I mean, there's mega churches, there's a whole bunch of works, and there's a whole lot of people doing you know, things for Christ their own way, and that's great. You know, when we talk to, you know, when I talk to Christians, when I talk to pastors out there in Mexico, and they tell me what they do, you know, and they, you know, have plays or whatever they do for Christ, you know, great. I tell them, you know, that's real good, and, you know, I'm glad you're doing something, and I'm glad, you know, this is what you think, you know, God has called you to do, and that's great. I don't try to mess with them. But you know what? I know preaching out in the streets, and I know publishing the gospel, I know sending, supporting missionaries is the way God ordained. This is what God wants us to do. And you know, I think our testimony is so important.
Amen. Yes.
This church has a testimony. This church, and you know what? Believe it or not, accept it or not, the decisions you make, the paths that we take as a church are going to define us. There's some people in this city that I know understand and know there's a church right here that meets at Oak Knoll.
Yeah, that's right.
There's some people from other churches who know our work and possibly even support this work. I have people, you know, I have churches on our support, Town East Baptist Church. You know, they support me. They know the work. They know what we do. They visited our works. They want to be in on this. They know the testimony of this church. And there's decisions, and there's paths that we take that are going to define us.
That's right.
You know, on any given meeting, on any given you know, Sunday conference or whatever, you're going to hear about the Apostle Paul. You're going to hear about Peter. You're going to hear about these men who made great decisions, hard decisions, and they're pillars of the faith. These guys are sinners just like you and I, but these guys went to the death for what they believed.
Yeah,
and you know, I started thinking about, and we're gonna hit a couple of things on Peter. I started thinking about how Peter, there was a few times in his life that, man, it could have gone either way. You know, there's some things, and what we're going to talk about tonight, we've all heard it, and I just want to use this tonight to focus on this one thing about what's going to be our testimony once we're out of here. What once we leave this world, once God has finished with us individually, and the church continues, you know, what's going to be your legacy? What's going to be the legacy of this church? Is it still in 20 years from now? Is it still going to be mission minded? 20 years from now, is it still going to be supporting missionaries? In 20 years from now, are we going to have a tennis court and a basketball court outside? In 20 years from now, what is going to be our main focus? You know, Peter, if you turn with me on Matthew 26. I want to be part of a church, brothers, that like Paul said in Corinthians about the Macedonians. He says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves." You know, I want to be a part of a church who, beyond our power, you know, I mean, beyond what we even think we can accomplish, are ready to do and work for whatever God wants us to do. I want to be a part of a church that's not ashamed to be called by Jesus' name. You know, this to me is very interesting, because sometimes I find myself down there in Mexico when they want to know who we are, because I mean, we stick out like a sore thumb. Well, not so much me. I'm brown. Bill and Michael stick out more than I do, but you know, when we stand out there and scream and we start preaching, well, you know, we're a little different. I don't know anybody in Toluca. I don't know anybody else right now that's preaching the way we do, out in the street, you know, out downtown every morning, doing what I think God called us to do.
Amen.
And that's every Christian. I think we ought to be testifying. We ought to be preaching. Somebody out of a Bible-believing church all over the place. Somebody ought to be standing out there preaching the gospel.
Amen.
You know, they come and they ask us, they say, well, you know, who are you guys? You know, what denomination are you? What exactly makes you guys tick? And well, we just gather in the name of Jesus over here in this park. And you know, sometimes that's just not good enough. They just, you know, well, okay, but you got to be, who's your leader? Well, you know, Jesus. That's why we meet in Jesus' name. I mean, it's just, they just don't understand. They just can't grasp that what we're doing is the right way. You know, I want to be a part of a church. The testimony I want to keep, the legacy I'd like to leave behind for my daughter. You know, hopefully when she graduates high school and she decides to come to San Antonio to go to school, she'll meet right here. You know, she'll be right here. She'll be, you know, going door knocking or going downtown or being part of the, you know, youth here. Something for Christ.
Amen.
I want to be a part of a church that's not dead. I want to be, you know, I want to be part of a church, of a fellowship like us, who aren't ashamed to meet in the Lord's name and aren't ashamed to say amen when we agree with something. You know, when we get together to worship, to actually sing out loud and don't care how we really sound. Because, you know, we want to come and worship God.
Amen.
You know, we know as believers, we meet here under one name to worship that true God. And this is what God wants. God wants the sacrifices of our lips. This is what He wants. He wants us to worship Him. And I want to be part of a church that doesn't try to quiet this thing. We're here to serve God.
Amen.
We're here to worship God. This week we're going to talk about evangelism and our responsibility in this part to take the gospel to other people.
Amen.
But you know, in our Christian walk, we find ourselves in, and I can relate a lot to different points of Peter's life that, man, he could have gone either way. The most famous one is right here in chapter 26, where he talks the Bible talks about him denying Christ in verse 69. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that they were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, when I think about this and I think about the point where he was at right here, just imagine, and I think we can all relate to this, denying Christ. I mean, how many times have we been just embarrassed, or maybe not embarrassed, maybe don't want to offend somebody? You know, I was with a fella a couple of days ago when I was visiting my mom, a real nice guy, and said to be a believer. He was going to be baptized this coming Sunday, and he's dating one of my cousins who's also a believer, and something came out, and we're getting along, we're talking, and he's showing me how to do this counter, because he works with this rock or something or another, and so he's showing me, and he's telling me, look, you know, I can give you this book so you can look at it, and just a real nice guy. And somehow or another, it turned out that he said something that they were living together. Going to get married, but they're living together. And so here I was, I'm thinking, man, I just met this guy and I'm going to ruin the whole relationship. You know, I mean, this guy's a really nice guy. And I'm going to have to tell him, you know what, you're doing wrong. You know, and I sat there and I thought about it. Well, maybe I can just pretend I didn't hear it.
You know, I mean, from that minute, he kept on talking about, you know, his work, whatever. And I'm just thinking and knocking this in my head. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? No, I didn't hear that. But you know what? I had to say, you know, let me stop you right there. And so I started explaining to him, you know, where he was wrong, you know, and that he needs to go down to the JP, sign on the dotted line and get this done right. You know, if they want to get married, do it right. And not only that, I said, if you're going to get married, the Bible says that a man is the head of the house. That's right. You got to do it. Well, I mean, it ended right. He thanked me for it. He said, you know what? I've been knocking this around, too. I've been thinking about it, too. And I know I'm not doing right. Well, it turned out okay. But there's lots of times when it doesn't turn out okay, you know. But you know what? Us as Christians and us as the Bible-believing church, we got to stand up for some things. We just can't take a back seat. We just can't say, well, you know what? Everything is okay. But we've all been there. We've all, you know, come to that point, whether we've denied Christ in our testimony, in speaking out for him. We know exactly what Peter went through. And could you imagine? I mean, here he's seeing Christ getting beat to death and just about crucified. Well, he was probably scared for his life. You know, he wanted to have both of the two worlds, right? He just said, you know what? I'm going to be here so Christ can see me. You know, I'm not going to run away, but I'm not going to say that I'm with this company. Well, you know, he could have gone either way at that point. And you know, I started thinking about what if. And I know God is sovereign, and he's going to save, he's going to save, with or without us. With this church or without us, he's going to do the work that he wants to do. He don't need us, like the brother said this morning. He don't need you. But you know what? By the grace of God, I know he's used this church. Amen. I'm saved because of somebody from this church. Amen. You know, I've won people in Mexico because of this church. Because the elders of this church said, you know what? We'll send you. We'll send you. You want to go? You want to help these brothers in Mexico? We'll send you. You gotta finish this. You got to do this. You got to put your life in order. But here in about a year, we'll send you. Everything goes all right. You know what? Because of that decision, because of the decision of sending somebody like me out, I've actually won some souls. I've actually helped in starting churches down there. Any one of you all can go down to Mexico. I can give you an address of brothers in many churches. And just because you go there and say, I'm from Oak Knoll. I'm from San Antonio. My pastor is Lindo Kincaid. Just like that, that's a free pass. Go on right in. Come on in. They know the testimony of this church. Well, you know, Peter could have just backed out. He could have just gone home. He could have just quit. But you know, it says over there in Acts that he preached and some people got saved. The Bible says over there that some people got healed because of Peter. I mean, he did some pretty astonishing things. Imagine if Peter would have just packed up and gone home. He was right at a crucial point of his life. And he could have just very easily said, you know what? I'm done. You know, right then, I think when Peter came to that place and he remembered what the Lord said. Over there in Luke 22:33, it says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. This is what Peter said. And then Jesus tells him, you're going to deny me. So he said, I'm ready to go. How many of us remember saying that to Christ? Probably every mission conference. I'm ready. Whatever you want me to do, man, I am ready. Maybe not you. Maybe we haven't said, I'm ready to go to death. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to do all this. But at least we've been there and said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, you know what? Lots of times and lots of years, we've forgot that quote unquote oath. You know, we've heard a message
during a conference, during a revival, during a regular Sunday meeting, we've heard somebody preach a good message, a good quote, a good something. We say, man, I'm ready. I'm going to do what I understood today. And then we walk out and we forget. How many times have we... When I think about how many times I've done that, you know, and the feeling I get, thinking, man, forget it. I'm just useless. I'm not even the Christian that I think that I am. Look at me denying Christ. But you know what? I think they're over there in John when we know that Jesus came to him and he asked him if he loved him in those three times. And I mean, Jesus saw him. Jesus didn't say, you know what, you're done. You know, because you denied me, well, that's it. I'm not going to use you. You know, Peter stayed right there. Amen. Yeah, I mean, he probably asked for forgiveness lots of times. He probably was beating his head, you know, many times thinking, how could I have just stood there? How could I have not said anything? How could I have gone back on what I told him I was going to do? I was ready to die. I was ready to go to prison. I was going to do whatever it took. But, you know, maybe right now some of us are in that spot right now. We've said we're going to do and we don't do. And it could be anything. It could be, you know, just being faithful. It can be giving. It can be whatever it is. Something that you've given to God and said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And then you've denied him. And then you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm done. You know? And you could very easily pick that. You can very easily go that route and just say, you know what? I'm going to quit going. I'm done. I'm washed up. But you know what? Peter didn't do it. Right. I think even if you don't understand, or even if you can't comprehend all the things God can do through you, if you just got right with him. Amen. You know, going back into the world, to me, isn't an option. It really isn't an option. I mean, amen. I'll be the first one to confess that I think about it. You know, I'm going to come back. I'm done. You know, it's getting pretty hard. You know, no one's listening. No one cares. No one wants this gospel that I'm preaching. But you know what? Every now and again, I get a Bible study. Every now and again, someone actually shows up to the meeting. I'm as surprised as anybody. You know, I'm thinking, hey, I talked to that guy and he's here. You know, I don't know how many times I write my name down on a track because they say, well, give me your phone number and I'll call you. I'm writing my name down, writing my phone number. And with every letter, with every number, I'm thinking, he's not going to call. This is a waste of time, you know. This person's going to throw this away, and someone's going to get it, find out where I live, and probably rob me because they know I'm a Christian. I'm not going to be there on Sunday. You know, all these things I'm thinking as I'm writing this down. Well, you know what? Sometimes they call.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes I get a phone call, and they say, hey, do you remember me? Thinking, who is this, you know? Yeah, I talked to you so-and-so this day. Well, you know what? You said if I wanted to study, and I came home, and I talked to my mom, and she wants to study too, and can you come over? Amen. Yeah, I can come over. You know, and even then, I'm doubting, you know, where are they taking me? You know, they tell me these directions. Did I really talk to these people? Many times, we just want to give up. We just want to throw this thing away. We just don't even want to show up. How many times have you heard that, man, I'm glad I came today, because if I didn't come today, I wouldn't have heard that message. You know, many times that keeps me going to the meetings just because I remember somebody saying, man, I'm glad I went today because I got blessed, because that is exactly what I needed.
Amen.
So next Sunday comes along and they're thinking, no, I'm just going to stick around here at the house. Thinking, no, maybe today Bill's going to have a good message. Maybe today, Michael might just get inspired and actually revive me. You just never know. So I go. And then it's a flop no. John chapter 20. Here's something that I haven't been able to get out of my mind. John chapter 20. Starting in verse 3. Here we see another instance where Paul, after Jesus has died, after Jesus has died, and they buried him. And Mary comes back and she says, the body's gone. And it says right here in 3, Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. You know, in verse 4 where it says, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Don't you find that interesting that he would say that? Why would he say he outran him? You know, I mean, I like to win, you know, just like the next guy. You know, not as much as Michael. Michael preaches a message on you know, losers, you know? And he says anybody who plays any kind of sports and says, you know, that it's for the game or it's for, you know, whatever, they're just a bunch of losers because they never win. And he just goes on. And to me, you know, I like winning, but I don't really care. You know, I really don't. You know, sometimes when we're real competitive and I just want to maybe embarrass Bill a little bit or embarrass Michael a little bit, I might try a little bit harder. But games, I could really care less. But you know what? It really matters to me as far as what I do in the ministry.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I think this is something worth fighting for. It's worth preparing for messages. You know, it's worth preaching your best.
Amen.
Out there on the streets and in the church. On any given Sunday, on any given open meeting, I try to show up with something.
Amen.
You know, there's been times I know, just like you and I, we grab the Bible and we, you know, okay, I didn't prepare very well, but here it goes. You know, how many of us have done that? I'm right here. I'm to blame. But, you know, I think it's something very important for us to prepare to be the best Christians we possibly can.
That's right. That's right.
But you know, here we have John. He says, I outran him. You know, have you ever thought about Peter and how he was always first to say things? You know, he was always first in line. He pulled out that sword. He wanted to fight to the death. I mean, when Jesus came to wash their feet, Peter said, no, you ain't washing my feet. I mean, he was always first to do everything. And here we don't see him being first to run to the grave, to get there. I mean, and you know, you could speculate. I don't know. But you know what it made me think? I mean, obviously Peter was loyal. I mean, he was there. You know, he attended. I mean, he was right there with John. But you know, it made me think about lots of times us. You know, we're here, we're not really committed. You know? Lots of times we say, well, I show up on Sunday. What else they want? You know? I come occasionally on Wednesday. I'm going to show up a couple of nights this week. I mean, what else do they want? I'm here. You know what? I think we need to be first. I think we need to have that mentality first. When it has to do anything with the church.
That's right. Amen.
We should want to be and strive to be the best.
That's right.
In everything we do.
Amen.
When it concerns the church.
That's right.
I think it should have been a tie. You know, I think Peter should have been right there. I think you should have said, you know what? We both got here at the same time.
Amen.
But he said, I outran him. You know, lots of times that's how we are. Lots of times we say, you know what? I'm going to show up. I'm here. I'm going to do my part and nothing more. What a bad attitude. And I am to blame for that attitude. I'm okay being second. I'm okay showing up. I'm okay being included in the group. Why not take the initiative and do something more?
Yeah, amen.
Why not go all out for Christ? Give more, do more, say more. Be the loudest person to shout, amen. I don't know. Do something to stir somebody up.
Amen.
Stir yourself up. No, we're going to show up. I mean, I'm loyal here. And I'm going to say my amens when I want to. And I'm going to say it just about this level. You know, it's funny to me when I hear those old revival tapes from this church. I mean, I wasn't here. A long time ago, those first revivals here, that year that all these people stood up to go to the mission field, you know, they probably met back here, right? You hear those old tapes, I don't know who has them, but if you hear those old tapes, man, it was a riot. People screaming and laughing, and I mean, it seemed like a real fun party back then. You know, it was. Maybe they were just younger. I don't know. Maybe something happened back then, but when it got started, you know, way back then, I mean, some people actually came to church.
Yes, right.
Not to play church, but they actually came to church. They said, you know what? I'm here. Let's get excited about something. And sure, maybe, you know, Brother Leno tells a story about all them people, you know, when they take off, you know, and they want to be missionaries and all the money walked out the door, too, because they got all mad. Who's going to be supporting all these people? You know, it ain't going to be us until they left. Oops. We got a little bit too excited. You know, we're still sending people out.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I don't understand it. I don't know. I haven't gotten skinnier. It's been going pretty good. It's been going real good. I have no complaints with this church as far as supporting their missionaries. But, you know, I started thinking about the difference between dedication and commitment. No doubt this is a dedicated group. No doubt you're here and you're part of the church and you're part of the meeting and you're helping me out every now and again saying amen. You're helping me out and I thank you for that. But you know what? Maybe we ought to be a little bit more committed.
Amen.
Maybe I can be as bold as to say we need to be doing a little bit more.
Amen.
You know, and don't anybody get up and walk out. What I'm saying is Jesus is worth it.
Amen.
He should have been right up there. He should have been tied. He should have been striving to get right there. You know what else surprises me? What else does it say in verse 10? Look at this. It says in verse 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. There it is again, came first. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Could you imagine that? You're with a man who claims to be the Son of God and who prophesies that he's going to not only give himself as a ransom, but he's going to die and he's going to be raised again the third day. And he himself is going to do it. And then they show up there and they see that the body's not there. They got a big old rock there that's rolled away. He's not there. Don't you think they should have been screaming and shouting and publicizing this all over the place? But what happens? They go home. Just another day. You know? Yeah, he's not. I don't know. I don't know what was going on in their minds, whether they were scared, whether they said, you know, what do we do now? I have no idea. But it's amazing to me, they just go home. Well, how many times do we do this?
Right, amen.
We come to church and we hear about this same risen Savior. And how many testimonies? How many people, literally, do you know somebody that has been saved and their life changed? Just one person. That should be enough to get you on fire. That should be enough to say, you know what? I want some of that.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I want just a little bit of what that guy got. Amen. You know, he was an ex-whatever. You put whatever it was that he was. And now he's a new creature. And now he's serving God. And now he is just wholeheartedly committed. I mean, here we have, you know, a Peter in Acts where he goes and says, it's better to follow God. It's better to obey God than men. I mean, what a statement.
That's right.
What an amazing statement. He's there in front of the officials. And he's basically telling them, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what God says. This is an unlearned man, completely transformed. If you know one person who has been changed by the gospel that we preach, that should be enough for you to get excited.
Amen.
And publish it.
That's right.
And just scream it. And just come here not to play church, but actually come to church.
Yeah,
actually want to worship God. Actually want to talk about this risen Savior. But here, they go in there and they see an empty tomb. Nothing there. What? And he says, and away, the disciples went away again unto their own home. You know, we find there in the next chapter that not only do they go home, but Peter, he's there thinking and he's thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go on a fishing. He wants to go fishing. I mean, the Savior's not there. You know, he's obviously risen again. And what he has in his mind to go back to work. I mean, that's what he was, right? He was a fisherman. I'll just go back to work. And the other guy said, you know what? I'll go with you. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, brethren. This, what we do here, what we hear here, that didn't come out right. Whatever we preach here and we understand it, we shouldn't just go home and think about, well, you know what? Tomorrow's work. Tomorrow I'm just going to do what I always do.
Right.
Man, is there something that I could possibly say? Is there something that you could possibly hear this week that will get you on fire?
Amen.
That'll get you smiling again? That'll get you actually happy like the brother preached about this morning? You know, we have a glorious gospel.
Amen.
And it's changed me.
Amen.
I mean, I know I was a long-haired hippie, but as of this morning, I was a long-haired ugly girl. Is that what you call me? The story just keeps getting better and better. I'm an ugly girl. Okay, I don't think I remember that. But that did happen. And you know what? I didn't get upset. I said, he's got a good point. He's got a good point. Time for the scissors. And then when I went down to Irapuato, I was still a long-haired guy, and I had to get my hair cut even shorter. Now I can't stand my hair. Here we have another spot where Peter could have easily just kept on fishing, just kept on staying home, just kept on saying, you know what? He's gone. I mean, he's just over. He's just done. But he didn't do it. One more spot in Acts in chapter 2. It says in verse 1. Here in chapter 1, we know the story. Jesus comes and he stays with them. It says over here in chapter 1, for 40 days, he was there. I mean, just having a good old time. Could you imagine the things they talked about? Maybe the sermons they heard, you know? I mean, just really exclusive stuff. I don't know. Good time for 40 days. And then all of a sudden, Jesus takes off. And then the angels are there and they said, you know, why are you looking up in the sky? Go do what he said. And Jesus told him, go and wait. Wait, and you're gonna receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? They did that. They went, and they waited, and they received. It says here in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know, the part that got me was they were all, in verse 1, all with one accord in one place. You know, I'm thinking right here was another example, another spot. I mean, how long did they have to wait? How long from the time Jesus left till they received that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe a short time, maybe a long time. I'm not really sure. But you know what? They waited. They obeyed. And like our God is, He's not a liar. He sent. He sent exactly what He said He was going to send.
Amen, that's right.
They were all in one accord, in one place, waiting on God.
Amen.
Well, you know what? They for whatever reason, got there. And I think it's exactly an example of us here. I mean, when Jesus died and they went and they saw the cave was empty, then they went home, and then they went fishing, and then they were just doing whatever. They were pretty much comfortable. They were pretty much doing what they've always done. But when the Savior came, manifested Himself to them, and He told them, you're going to wait here, for whatever reason, it finally clicked with them. It finally said, you know what? God has something big in store for us. We're going to wait to receive that power. Well, you know, I think sometimes we need to, or I think this week, maybe we need to come and be of one accord and say, you know what? God is going to do something.
Amen.
This week.
Amen.
Can we all be in accord on that?
Amen.
Just to, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, I don't know if it's going to even happen this week. But what I'm saying is, can we just come together and say, you know what, God? I know you got something for this church.
That's right.
You know? We done spent the money on these chairs. I know you got something for this church. We're not going to get back our money from these chairs. Something has got to break. Something has got to...
Yes.
Something.
Amen.
Has got to happen.
That's right.
I mean, the fact that we're still here, the fact that we're still, you know, doing what God has told us to do,
that's
is
right,
evidence that God's not done.
Amen.
The day He's done, we're going to be out of here. But until then, there's something else. I'm just waiting for that week, for that person, for that family. Something's got to happen there in Toluca. We still got the same amount of people, plus a few more visitors, I guess. We can call them visitors right now. They come on Sundays. They're coming. But you know, I know God's got to have to break this thing open. I know just any minute now, God's going to do something. I think we need to get out of that little comfort zone. You know, I think we need to be at least entertain the idea of saying, God, I'm doing everything that You asked me to do, and I'm really comfortable, because a lot of us are comfortable. We have what we have on our plate, and we don't want any more. It's going to spill off, and it's going to be a big mess. We just want whatever God wants, or whatever God's given us thus far. But why not ask God for maybe a bigger plate? Or maybe something else to do?
Amen.
You know, maybe do a little bit more. We need to actually just maybe get out of that, our little comfort zone, just 10 families. You know, why not send 11?
Yes.
Why not have 12 people, 12 families out on the mission
field?
That's
right.
You know, I mean, I'm really happy with 10.
Oh, amen.
10 people? And you guys have supported... Man, how long have you been out there on the mission field?
29 years.
Man, you're old. Long time. A long time.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's something we can say, God, You've done this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, God has done marvelous things. They were there. They were sitting, waiting on the Lord for Him to move. Well, you know what? I think this is what we need to come to church this week. And we have this other path to take. Are we going to come this week and find out what God has in store for us the rest of the week? Or are we going to say, Tonight's enough. As it is, I'm already missing the Spurs tonight, right? I don't want to miss them two times this week. Are we going to forget all that?
Amen.
And say, you know what? I'm going to come tomorrow. I'm going to come the rest of the week.
Amen.
I want to come on one accord.
Amen.
And I want to see what God is going to do for me this week.
Amen.
You know, on any given meeting, like I said, we hear about Paul and we hear about Peter. I love reading the epistles of Peter. And I think I can relate more to him. You know, you hear Paul over there saying, man, yeah, the Pharisee, man, I was so-and-so. I mean, this guy was a good guy. You know, I'm thinking, man, this guy, he was a good man. I can't relate to him. But then I see Peter. Oh, man, this guy's denied Christ. Yeah, I can relate to that. You know, this guy went home rather than doing what God called him to do. Yeah, sometimes I forget about things, the important things. Sometimes I say, you know what, this is what I'm doing right now is more important than going to church or working in the ministry or doing whatever. I can relate to Peter. But you know what? I can also relate to him if he chose the right path. If he made the right decision, and now he's an example to all of us, man, we as a church can do that.
Amen.
We can actually, I mean, in any given time, we are right smack in the middle of any one of these paths. And we have a choice to make, whether to follow Christ or walk away.
Amen.
Well, I, for one, don't want to walk away.
Amen.
I, for one, don't want this church to walk away.
Amen.
I get excited every year for the mission conference.
Amen.
This, during a mission conference, is when I got saved.
Amen.
During a mission conference.
Wow.
That song they sung this morning, it's a mission song. But that was a song that God used to say, you know what, you need to get up here and you need to make this public
Amen.
That you're mine. How can I say no? How can I say? The only things are ringing in my head. This week, I want God to move.
Amen.
This week, I want God to speak to me.
Amen.
And if God can cause me to get on fire, well, maybe I can contaminate a few of you. Amen?
Yeah.